behaving. And I think in today's gospel reading basically sums up all those three B's of baptism. And baptism is the start of our journey in the Christian faith. To be a Christian is first and foremost to have an experience of Christ, to find yourself in a relationship with him in all the circumstances of life, to find him challenging us to love, to have compassion, to practice justice, to live in freedom, to be able to forgive and be reconciled, and to respond to him in all things. And this is the bit of belonging that we find in the baptism, not only to the church of God, but also to the family and to God himself. And it's because of all of this that as Christians we're to live lives of joy and peace in the midst of pain and turmoil. Now, I don't wear rose-coloured glasses enough to know that that's not always the case, and it can be very hard and difficult to do so when that pain and turmoil is at its worst. But there are also two elements to the Christian faith. And the first is basically expressed by the first reading that we didn't have when Paul wrote to the early church in Corinth. And he just gave them a brief summary of what the Christian message is about: the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so to have faith at that level was simply to accept the message that Paul was giving them as true and credible. However, there is another level of faith which we need to have and ignore at our peril. The Greek word for faith, and I'm not swearing at you when I say this, is pistis. And the basic meaning of that is trust. And to have faith in Christ is to put one's total trust in him. And that involves a different kind of relationship from the beginning. And this is where the believing of the B of baptism comes in. Because we can believe a person in that we believe what they say, or he or she says, is true and reliable. But it's all about believing in a person, being ready to put yourself totally into the hands of that person. And so as a Christian, our Christian faith is about believing in Jesus. Not just believing that he lived, but believing in him so much that we just give total control over to him. Real faith accepts the content of God's message and also involves a total surrender of one's whole self, that all that we have and is in God's hands, a complete trust and letting go. And this is basically what we see happening in today's gospel reading that we heard Glenn say. So we've had the belonging, the relationship that we have, the encounter with Christ, and we have the believing in Christ as a person. So in our gospel, Jesus approaches these exhausted and frustrated fishermen who are trying to get their nets repaired, get them stowed away so that they can go home and have some food and some sleep. They've been fishing all night. Jesus, he climbs into Simon's boat and instructs him to move the boat out into the shallow waters from where he teaches the crowd that was following him. Simon, although he was tired and ready for his bed, he obeyed. And I would imagine he continued to work on his net as he listened to Jesus teaching the crowd. When Jesus had finished speaking, he instructed Simon again to row the boat further out into the deeper water and let down his net again. You can just imagine Simon Peter going, I've just pulled my net up. I've been working all night. And now this mere carpenter is telling me to go into these deep waters and let down my net again. We can perhaps understand that Peter's reply is a bit on the skepticism and a bit condescending when he says, we, the professionals, have spent the whole night in vain. But if you say so, Jesus, we'll go into the deep and we'll cast out our nets again. What happens here from Simon is really and simply an act of obedience to Jesus' instructions. But the result was overwhelming and totally beyond their expectations. Their nets could hardly hold the catch. And this was their first test of faith in Jesus. When Simon obeyed Jesus to go into the deeper waters was when Simon began to understand that God was here in his presence and that the power of God was seen through this man, this carpenter, this teacher. And the same call comes to us at times. We are called to go out into those deeper waters. And as we do, God is saying, do not be afraid. Trust me completely. And believe you me, you will be in for a pleasant surprise. But I wonder, how do we respond when we're instructed to go into those deeper waters? When we're instructed to go out of our comfort zone? Do we hesitate? Do we think, I know me better than you do, God. What are you asking me to do? Do we long to linger in the shallows of the water where we're comfortable and feel safe? Sadly, many who claim to follow Jesus never venture further than the shallow waters. They just dip their toe into the Christian faith and say, I'm a disciple of Christ. They remain in that safe place where they can see their feet firmly on the bottom. Yes, they still cast out their nets, but then they wonder why the nets come back empty. The deep water is dark, and it may go over our heads, but it takes faith and courage to move into those waters, to pull up our anchor that keeps us in place, and to turn over our control to God completely. And as we trust and obey and move deeper and deeper, we will see that we are soon filled with blessings in abundance. We really haven't learned to believe in until we have reached that level of total and unconditional trust in the way of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And so back to Peter, Simon Peter. After the sensational catch of his fish, he's absolutely overwhelmed by what has happened. And he knows he is in the presence before the power of God himself. All his arrogance disappears, and he's overcome by his own smallness and unworthiness to the point where he gets on his knees and he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And this in itself is a true sign of having that experience, an experience with God, an encounter with him. So we've had the belonging, we've had the believing, and then we come to the B of behaving, of baptism. Simon, Peter, James and John, even Paul, who wrote to the early church in Corinth, were all called not only to be disciples of Christ, to be followers, which is what disciple basically means, but they're also called to be apostles. And the word apostle is basically a person delegated and sent out to convey a message or carry out a mission on his or her master's behalf. Though we are called to be disciples of Jesus, today's reading actually asks for more than that from us. We're not only to follow, but whoever wishes to be known as a Christian is called to be an apostle, a proclaimer of the good news of Christ, to send out that message to others whom we meet. And it's not just done by words, but it's done by the whole witness of what we are and what we do. It's a totally natural outcome from the faith we have in Christ that leads us to the unique experience and joy of knowing him and putting him unconditionally at the center of our lives. And to experience that, we want to share it, not just because we're told to, but because we want to. We want to share that good news, and we can't help doing so. True discipleship then overflows into apostleship. And this is what happened on that day when Peter, James, and John left everything and went to follow Jesus. So what do we have to leave behind to follow him? And what have we failed to leave behind in order to follow him and become not only disciples, but apostles of Jesus Christ? God's calling to us continues to this day. God calls throughout history as one of command, sometimes subtle and gentle, sometimes abrupt. But God has already ordered things, so the call on each one of our lives is just one more piece in God's puzzle of a master plan. He calls to each one of us in our ordinary, everyday lives and asks that we participate in his mission by following the way of Christ, by proclaiming the good news of Christ, and by showing it in word and in action. How do we respond? The message in Luke's gospel is not so much one of acceptance or recognition of the call, but it's one of obedience and of trust. And that's the behaviour of baptism. So we've had the belonging, the believing, and the behaving. And so as the story of Jesus' ministry unfolds, we see that his work and ministry have grown to require the recruitment of disciples. And Tiana is the first day of being a disciple of Christ in baptism today. The fishing for people continues. God has chosen to work through us, and because God has chosen to work this way, it's crucial that we be alert to God's call, to be obedient in response to that call, seeking first the kingdom of God and trusting him every step of the way. And to God be the glory in doing so. Amen.